So we're sitting here at the usability lab in building 36 and getting ready for a usability lab for Windows Workflow Foundation. So maybe we'll do a quick round of introductions. Stephen, want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Stephen Clark. I'm the usability engineer for WinFX.
Okay.
I'm Dennis Plurales. I'm program manager on the Windows Workflow Foundation.
Okay.
I'm Nancy Perry, usability engineer for Windows Workflow, BizTalk, and a few other things.
Cool. So all the BPI technologies then? So Commerce Server, HIS as well then?
Yeah.
Okay. Very cool. So what's involved with the usability study?
Of APIs, specifically.
Yeah, so an API usability study is much like any other usability study where we have people come into the labs here where we're sitting right now and ask them to work on a number of different tasks that involve using an API. And as they're using that API, we ask them to talk out loud, give us their sort of running commentary on what they're thinking about, what they're doing as they're using the API.
So it's really a coding type usability study.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They're just writing some code and then they're talking about what they're doing.
That's right, yeah. Okay. So you get, you know, sitting here, we sit, watch people write code for a number of hours, and you learn a lot of things from that about how people write code and what they expect the API to do for them. The benefits of doing a study like this are that, for sure, you could go away and you could ask somebody, you know, you could ask them, what do you think you would do if you were given an API that had the following functionality? What would you do with it? And people will tell you one thing, but one thing that we know about human behavior is that what people say they would do and what they actually do are often very different things. And it's because it's hard for people to put themselves in that situation, given a brand new API, it's hard for them to think, what would I do with it? When you actually get them in the lab and actually ask them to do something with it, then you see what they would actually do.
So is this pretty common to have usability studies for APIs? Because
yeah.
I think most people think of usability studies as being around the user interface, right? The usability
exactly.
of an actual
yeah.
app, like
yeah.
Word or Excel or something like that.
That's right, so. Yeah. And that's what everybody thinks of is, and when you do a usability study, they're thinking of it being like around some GUI. Whereas when you think about it, an API is just another tool that a developer uses. The developer uses IDE, but they also use programming languages and APIs, and in fact, those are probably one of the biggest factors in that determine whether or not they're going to be successful at the task that they're working on, the languages and APIs that they use. And given it's a tool, we have to make sure that tool is designed just as well as it can be, such that people who look at this API to accomplish a task can actually accomplish that task. So the same many of the same principles that we use when we're thinking about usability of GUIs apply to an API. You know, you want to think, what's the user's mental model? How do they think about the task? How do we represent that in the API? The only difference is that, you know, with a GUI, everything's represented graphically. With an API, represented through text, through the public interface of that API.
So I think we'll see the participant in just a little bit and see what they're doing around the technology and kind of film a little bit of that. When they do an API usability study, do they use a Visual Studio or any kind of IDE?
I've been doing this for about 2 years, and probably about 80% of the studies have used Visual Studio. Because you typically want to represent in the lab like the real-world experience. So normally, most of our customers, when they're using our APIs, they would be using Visual Studio. But sometimes we will use Notepad and other, like, any tool with no design time features at all, such that, you know, the likes of IntelliSense and the documentation doesn't get in the way of you really understanding how the user feels about the API. If you just give somebody Notepad to ask them to write code in it, they really have to...
Wow.
Think about what the API does for them, and you
yeah.
really get a lot of great feedback that way. It's amazing to see the difference in different environments.
So that's the next question I was going to ask is, how does this really impact the technology? I mean, how does that feedback really apply and get driven into the product?
So there's two ways. First is the issues that we see in the lab. You know, we come across a number of fairly obvious usability issues. That, you know, given this task, people had a real hard job with this API. And so we go ahead and we change the API. And that's probably the most visible impact that it has. But the second type of impact that it has that is less visible, but I think is more has more of an impact over the long term, is that people who've never been and watched a customer work before start to see and understand how customers work, and they start to empathize with customers. And that means that the next time around, when they're designing a new API, they've already got information about how people work, and they can use that when they're applying it to the design of their API.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. So, Dennis, I know from a PM standpoint, you've been pretty involved with Windows Workflow Foundation and defining the task for this usability study. How do you see some of these other usability studies impacting Windows Workflow Foundation?
Pretty directly, actually. We were just talking to Stephen this morning that some of the stuff that we've gone about three-quarters of the way through the usability study this so far And a lot of the feedback that we found consistently is basically going to be changed pretty quickly in the technology as it stands right now. So
what are some of the key things that you've seen? So I understand these attendees are working with Beta 1?
They're working with Beta 1, and a lot of the constructs that we exposed in Beta 1, we kind of had open issues on and kind of heated discussions on it. Would people understand cognitively all the working parts that are involved? To what extent would they be able to, as Steven said, just work with the API directly versus consult a sample or documentation? And I would say that a couple of things we're polishing up for people before we go to RTM, basically.
Because one of the challenges is this is not just a beta one, right, but this is also a V1 technology.
Right.
So just getting the information back from attendees and how they understand that technology is pretty critical.
Yeah, there's that added pressure as well of introducing a V1 API and making sure that you've tried to make it as tight as possible because you have to support it for a number of years after it's been released as well. So we want to do this stuff so that we don't hear the same problem over and over and over and over and wish retroactively that we changed it when we had a chance.
Cool.
That is one of the biggest differences between, say, a GUI and an API study. With any usability issue that you're aware of with an API, once the API ships, there's not a lot you can do about it because you're going to break customers' code. With a GUI, you can ship it and then you can realize, yeah, we can fix that in V2. Cool. But once your API ships, that's it. So you have to get these issues before you ship, because otherwise there's...
So some of the other WinFX technologies gone through this API review as well?
Yeah. Over the last couple of years, I've been working a lot with Avalon and Indigo and WinFS.
Windows Communication Foundation.
WCF and WCF.
Yeah, make sure we get all the marketing terms right, yeah, or the current names right. So, cool. So Nancy, is this the first V1 usability lab you've been involved, or what are some of the other usability labs you've done?
First API, but not V1. And so, as Dennis said, we've definitely been able to hit a lot of the key issues in terms of the API, but not only the API, but I'd say in terms of the documentation as well and error messages. All three of those things we've been able to hit, and we'll really be able to.
So you're kind of testing the overall the developer's experience, not just writing code in Notepad or writing code in Visual Studio, but also how quickly they can resolve issues and that type of thing?
Yes, so we've watched them go through debugging and everything. One thing I want to mention with this particular study is we are focusing on the Windows Workflow Foundation API. So there is a very cool designer, but we are not allowing them to use the designer because we really wanted to focus them on how intuitive is the API itself and how can they build up workflow using just the API.
Yeah, so I've worked with several developers who have been playing with the bits for Windows Workflow Foundation, and the first thing they do is go into Visual Studio and start designing out the workflow. So I guess that's a little bit different approach that most developers will probably take with the technology. What do you think, Dennis?
I don't know. I think a lot of people, I think we've heard unsolicited, and they're sitting on the other side of the glass, which we'll see in a couple of seconds, and they're like, I really wish I had a designer for this. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting on this side of the glass saying, just give it a couple minutes, and, or at the end of the session, we'll show you what that designer looks like.
Okay.
But really, you have to imagine that if you don't have a designer, how does that API, like the designer is an excuse to have a poor API, right? It's like, ultimately, people are going to take a look at that API, try to use it, recreate their own tools, they're going to have to use that API. So I think it's important that you do understand kind of what backs that graphical view of the workflow.
Even if all they're doing is like using the designer to generate something, then looking at the code the designer has generated for them, you still want to be sure that they can understand that code.
Yeah.
The designer might, as I say, it shouldn't be a crux over a pure API. Yeah.
So coming from a code first perspective, right, has anybody actually looked at the code that's generated by the designer and thought, well, why is the designer generating code like this? That's not the way I expected it to generate out.
I think there are some tweaks that we can make even the designer. So it's like one of the feature areas that I own. So, the stuff that gets generated by the designer could be a little bit more succinct than some of the feedback that we're taking. That we're
going to
take back at
SSDNs
right now.
So. Okay, cool.
And I think we'll be doing other usability studies to sort of focus more on both, more about the API, since we obviously weren't able to hit all of the API in this one study, as well as sort of the integration of the designer, I think. So.
Okay. What are the major API features that are covered in this usability study for Workflow Foundation?
So communications is kind of one of the bigger things that we wanted to bite off. So in the first task, you see essentially just, hello world type thing, but using understanding basically the concept of workflows are comprised of activities, that you can use these activities in a meaningful way, understanding that you can add these activities to a tree, which is that workflow, and then executing it. The second one is really kind of the parameters, now getting data into the workflow, third one is local communication services, and the third task. What would it be on that? Local communication service, expanding local communication services.
With itself, yeah. And passing in things like that. And then the final one was creating custom activity.
Right, so okay. Creating activity and then seeing how it actually plays within that workforce. Oh, and declared rules. We have to put rules in there as well.
Okay, very cool. So it's kind of the 101 or getting started with Windows Workflow Foundation, kind of the out-of-the-box experience for a developer after they install the technology.
It's the canonical hockey stick, right? It's the 101 for the first couple tests, and then we
Okay.
give you more and more information quickly so that you can test very specific parts of the task that you need to accomplish.
Okay.
And to set some context for the participant that we'll be seeing today, is he's on task two, which is the local communication services task. And so dealing with setting up event sync activity, invoke method activity, and being able to use parameter bindings object to pass from the host to the workflow and then back from the workflow back to the host.
Okay. Very cool. So how do people get involved in the usability studies?
They can just go onto Microsoft.com and say, hey, I want to be involved in usability. We have a big database that of developers, and not only developers, we also have all sorts of other folks as well, but and sort of same folks that for the WinFX studies that that Stephen has done, they schedule them for us.
So pretty much any developer can go and sign up for a usability study,
yeah.
And then you basically identify the right developer. Okay.
Exactly. So there are certain profiles. For this study, we have a certain profile that they needed to have a certain skill level. They needed to write code a certain amount of hours per week. For this study, we're bringing both C# developers as well as VB developers.
Okay.
But any developer could go in and sign up, and then obviously they would just have to meet the profiles of whatever study it is that was going on.
We're running studies,
very cool.
Like, at least for the API studies, maybe like once a month.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of opportunity to get involved.
Okay.
And one of the things that I find is that the developers who sign up are really keen to come along and participate, because not only do they get their choice of software, it's a gratuity that we give
them. Oh, so we give them a little giveaway, a little gift for doing it.
So there's that as a motivation to come along. But I think the major motivation for many developers is that they've got an opportunity to come to the team that designs the tools that they use, and they can come face-to-face and say, you know what, this sucks and you need to fix it. And so they have direct input into the...
So are some of them that vocal?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So what's been some of the most vocal reactions that you've seen in the last couple of days through the usability study for workflow?
Hard to say.
Nothing that's really memorable.
I wouldn't say that. I just wonder how much of what we can see on camera. Fair. I mean, that's what we want, right? We want people.
Yeah.
We're happy to hear the things that we've done well.
Yeah.
But we're more interested to hear the things that we can do better.
Yeah. And right? We definitely heard both.
Yeah. Exactly. So. It's like that's interesting that makes sense for you, but the stuff that didn't, why didn't it? How can we make that better?
Yeah. And we have gotten some good feedback and some good suggestions for how it might be more intuitive. So we're definitely taking that back.
Okay.
And even then, sometimes the most vocal feedback you get can be, the user doesn't even have to say anything. To give you the best feedback.
Yeah. Really?
Just by watching them work and seeing what they're trying to do and understanding, why they're doing what they're doing.
So seeing them go down different paths to try to accomplish the same goal or maybe...
That's the beauty of watching them in the lab here. There's a difference between asking somebody, out in the street, what do you think you would do given this, and actually watching them. They don't have to say a lot for you to be getting unbelievable data about how they work and how they expect things to work. So just watching them alone can be...
Yes.
Is absolutely fantastic.
Okay. Do you guys ever do any on-site usability studies? Like go and visit a customer or go visit a developer at their organization and see what they do, what kind of applications they implement?
Yeah. We do that a lot, yeah.
I personally don't generally watch them write code as much as sort of see their environment and see all the contextual things that they're working with and how they would like to do tasks and things like that.
Yeah, in Visual Studio, we do that a lot, going out and just watching them. And we don't just, for those sorts of site visits, we go and watch developers in general. And I've gone to shops where it's a full Unix shop, and I've gone around and seen how Unix developers work. And it's all about just understanding the context in which people do development and the sorts of things that have an impact on their ability to successfully complete a project. And then we use that to figure out, well, what did we do in the tool to help enable that?
Cool.
Yeah. And you can also pick up some of the team interaction, collaboration stuff when you go on site, and you can see how they work with other developers, how they work with the IT admins and things like that. So you can pick up a lot of good information.
So more technologies like Team System, right, inside of Visual Studio 2005 would be the types of technologies you do an on-site usability study for.
So there's one of the other products that I work on as well is Team System. So we did a lot of studies last year on looking at how teams work and the interaction between different members of the team. Which then fed itself into the design of the team system.
Very, very cool. Okay. Well, great. So the participant should be here in just a little bit?
Maybe here.
Okay. So. Great. Okay, great. So we're actually on the other side of the glass here in the usability room and getting ready to start up with a usability lab. So you want to introduce yourself?
Okay. Hello. My name is Michael Riston, and I'm a software developer slash lead at a company called Siegel Scientific.
Okay.
And we develop barcode labeling software.
So what are your primary technologies that you guys use today?
We use primarily C++.
Okay.
A little bit of C# with some back-end ASP.NET, but primarily C++ on legacy MFC at the moment.
Okay. Is this your first usability study? Or?
No, I've actually done usability at other times over the years. I've been in this area for close to 20 years. I'm in the database.
Okay. So you get the frequent calls. Hey, Michael, we need you to come down and do a usability study. Okay.
I wouldn't say it's frequent. It all depends on what the hot product Microsoft's developing at the moment.
Have you done any on the actual API and sort of coding
this
in the lab before?
This is the first time that I can remember doing an API. I've done some testing with VisualStudio.net as well.
Okay.
And mostly use UI more than API.
So have you had a chance to work with Visual Studio 2005? Or?
Pretty much what I did first round on this set.
Oh, so this is your second usability study for workflow?
This, mm-hmm. For workflow, yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm on part two now.
So what do you think of the first part?
I thought it was very good, actually. I've a couple of usabilities I've had before here, sometimes they're not as planned out as well as others, and this one was very well planned out, and I enjoyed it very much. I forced myself to not look at the examples, thanks to the coach here.
Okay. And, kind of coaching along. Don't look at the help. Don't look at the documentation.
Not at first. Yeah.
Not at first, but I purposely wanted to do that. I wanted to see if I could get through it. And,
okay.
I think IntelliSense really helps a lot of things through that.
Uh-huh.
If you didn't have IntelliSense, I definitely would have to go, take a lot longer. But still, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was well laid out, and I guess I got through it all. I don't know how I really compared to everybody in the world, but
so was your first usability study on workflow the first experience you had to the technology, or have you been playing with the bits before?
I have not played with workflow at all. My first introduction was reading the paper that was sent to me, a few days prior to this usability study.
The David Chappell white paper?
Yeah, the David Chappell, which I thought was very well written. And I just read through that, and I read through the other handout that was given to me for this study. And just from those, had little hints as to where to go. And, I've used Visual Studio a lot, so I was, 2005, still had the look and feel. So,
yeah.
Still could get around.
Very cool. So, in terms of these handouts that attendees are providing, what kind of details are in those? Is it kind of like a lab, instructional, do this?
No, not at all. Well, we had the David Chappell white paper, which is more sort of an overview of the whole technology.
Okay.
The other one was a little bit more focused, and it just had a little bit of introductory overview on things like data binding and local communication services and things like that, and then a table of all the different activities and just a little snippet about what you might use these activities for. So, not too detailed, but
It
gives you sort of an introductory overview.
So is it more like, this is what we'd like you to accomplish, and here's some pointers along the way for how to kind of get started? Or?
Yeah, we don't actually tell them the tasks or what they're going to be doing. So
it's
more about here's all the things sort of that you might want to know about Windows Workflow Foundation. Once they come in here, then there's a task packet that you can see here on the left-hand side of the screen. That's the first chance that they actually get to see what tasks they're going to be doing for today. And as we mentioned previously, we're working through loan processing, loan application sort of scenario, and right now we're working on task two, which involves local communication services.
Okay.
And on the screen, they also have access to help and to samples and to the internet. So try to make it as real life as possible.
So actually a pretty clean desktop there, just initialized here for the attendees, huh?
Yeah.
Much cleaner than mine. So we're getting ready to start task two. That's communications.
That's right.
So,
we are, and we're going to head on back to the observer side.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Very good.
Feel free to read over task two and just kind of remember what it was that you need to do.
Need to do that?
Yeah. And
cool.
Then we'll come on over to the loudspeaker when you're ready to begin.
Thanks a lot, Michael. Looking forward to hearing
your
feedback.
Welcome.